Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Everybody good? Come on. Y'all looking good? Everybody looking fly, I'll tell you. Y'all looking good as the ones I can see because the lights are really, really bright. Hey, can we give it up for everybody watching online right now? Come on, come on. Glad you're watching. Love to hear people watching from all over the place. People watching from last week from Idaho and Seattle and different places like this. Kind of weird. People watching little old Coleman, Alabama, all over the world. Hey, glad you're watching. Hey, let us know where you're watching from. Type it in there and let us know. It kind of fires us up a little bit. So, hey, let me just give a quick shout out to something we've got going on today before I dive into the message. We have got what we call, for our Desperation College, we've got what we call Snapshot. And so if you are interested at all in coming to our Bible college, it is a for real deal Bible college. It is absolutely incredible. Everybody that I have talked to that are going through it absolutely loves it. It will take you places you've never gone before. I'm telling you, you'll grow like crazy. Whether you want to do it for the business place, whether you want to do it for ministry one day, we have today called Snapshot. It'll be right after this service, right before you go to the sliding doors, the room to your right. You'll be in there probably 15 to 20 minutes. We'll give you a synopsis of who we are, what we're about with our college. Just give you a little taste of maybe trying to figure out if you want to come be a part of Desperation College, okay? So that'll be right after this service. It'll be right after the next service. And so just come and be a part of that if you're just wondering, do I really want to do this? Come check it out. We've got, I think, 32 students going through this next semester coming up, 18 at night, 14 during the day, which I think is absolutely awesome, fires me up. We've got a student that is leaving Tuesday to go to Louisiana that we have placed in a job and an internship that I'm fired up and excited about, and a lot of things are happening, okay? Hey, listen to today's kind of a standalone message. We're going to start a new series next week. And so I'm hoping and praying that this message will connect with a lot of you. If you see me walking around up here limping just a little bit, walking like I'm a cripple. If I was a crip in a gang, I'd get killed immediately. That would not be good. But it's because I played 4 hours of basketball yesterday and I'm hurt. And that is just dumb. I'm forgetting that I'm 46. My mind tells me I'm 20. My body tells me you're 74. All right. And so I'm hurting really, really bad right now. And so y'all just pray for my feet. There's something wrong with them, probably because I walk on the side of them. Listen, I want to talk to you. If I was to title this message, I would title it Something's Missing. Something's Missing. And I'm going to be coming to you from James chapter 2. You know, whenever I think about something missing, how many of you have ever made something and you missed an ingredient inside your food and just don't taste good? I remember whenever I was a while back, I made some cinnamon toast. There's nothing like cinnamon toast at 9 o'clock at night. Like we call it floppy toast. I mean, if it's not floppy, it's not good. You know what it means? What makes it floppy is tons and tons and tons of butter, all right? Butter makes everything better, I promise you. And so one day I went and I got the McCormick cinnamon to the can and dropped it on there and got my sugar and my butter on my bread and put it in the oven on broil for about 35, 40 seconds because it don't take long to cook it. Pulled it out, took a big bite and was like, what is wrong with my cinnamon toast? This is just nasty. The cinnamon is gross. And I went back and looked in the cupboard. And I don't know if y'all ever use all the people that cook. There's this McCormick cans. All right? They're red and white and they look alike. I pulled out the black pepper and put black pepper all over my cinnamon toast. The ingredients were just jacked up. All right? It was nasty. It was not good. All right? Anytime you put the wrong ingredient or don't add an ingredient, it's going to be bad. You know, Cracker Barrel, I've always said Cracker Barrel, and I guess I'm giving Cracker Barrel a shout out. I've never had anything there that wasn't good. I mean, everything is good. They mix the right ingredients in everything. You know, if they did not put the right ingredients in their food, there would be a massive, gigantic decline at Cracker Barrel. I mean, like, man, there's something like missing, and it's probably the ingredients you got in your food, all right? The reason why a lot of places don't work is because the ingredients are bad, all right? Cracker Barrel's ingredients are good, and so they work. You know, one thing that if I was to kind of move that over to church, you know, if you look at statistics today, and that's my world, that's where I live, the decline in church is dropping off the map. It is like taking a nosedive. The average person goes to church about once a month. The average Christian basically goes to church about once a month. Now, that's all over the nation. I would step out and say for our culture, it's probably twice a month. All right? Just the average believer goes to church twice a month. The decline in church is dropping like crazy, and they're coming up with all kinds of scenarios why that is. But you know, I really believe one of the reasons, the same way if Cracker Barrel wasn't to be able to put ingredients, the right ingredients in their food, their restaurant numbers would decline. I believe that there's something missing. There's an ingredient in our churches that is missing that's causing a decline inside our churches. You know, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of unchurched people, and church people alike, I feel like, who are deceived in a large area, and they're missing out on the blessings of God, the blessings of God. I really believe there's a lot of people missing out on a relationship with Jesus. There are a lot of people who claim to have faith in Christ, but biblically speaking, their faith is pointless because their faith is, wait for it, all right, here we go, their faith is, this is what's missing, this is what's keeping us from being effective, their faith is pointless because it produces no fruit. In other words, what's missing is the works that produce, that comes from being produced by faith. Now listen, the message today is going to be a little difficult for some. Here's what I need more than anything else. I need you to evaluate your own personal life. There's going to be several different areas or several different types of people I'm talking to today that honestly, it will be very, 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 very easy. And I think this is what's happened in a lot of people in our churches today. Now, when I say churches, I'm talking about Universal Christian Church that justify why things are okay in their life. But I really need you to allow the Holy Spirit to dig deep in you. Because this is one of those messages where honesty is painful, but honesty is really good. Because it will take you places you've never gone before if you'll just allow yourself to get honest with yourself and not justify why I'm okay. And listen, and you may be okay. I'm just saying, test you, everything might be great and groovy and perfect. But there's a great possibility that there are several people that I'm going to be talking to today in both services that really need to hear this message and do an evaluation of your own life. You know, a lot of people think that the word works in church is a bad word. And I would ask, why is that? Because the Bible talks about works all through the New Testament being a product of your faith. Being a product of your faith. Listen to what James chapter 2. The first point is true faith produces work. True faith produces good deeds. True faith produces fruit. Genuine faith produces something. So the first point, true faith produces work. This is what James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20 says. It says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say, I have faith, if you say, I have faith." Now, if you've been to our church any time at all, you've heard me say 14,000 times that in Alabama, you got to get people lost before you can get them saved because everybody in Alabama is saved. Just ask them, all right? So everybody that I talk to pretty much says, yeah, I have faith. Yeah, I got faith. Yeah, I got faith in God. So if you say, which I would step out and say, that's pretty much everybody in Coleman County. There are a few people that will get honest with you, like, I don't believe in God. But most people are like, yeah, I believe. If you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions, what it produces, can that kind of faith save anyone? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm, and I hope you eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? Listen, you know, I think it's kind of funny. A lot of people have their own categories of what works are or good deeds. And I think it's a little bit of everything. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But it's funny that James uses the illustration of giving. He uses the illustration of giving to other people. Somebody that has less than you, somebody that you won't profit off of. He uses giving, which I believe is what I've always said, that the only way you'll ever truly be satisfied is to give your life away. And that's what God calls us to do, give our life away to Him first and to others second. And so that's kind of interesting. It says in verse 17, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces It produces good deeds. Or some translation says works. Faith is pointless. It is useless unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. I guess the question of the day is, are you producing fruit? Now, I'm not talking about at church. I'm talking about when you leave church. Let's not even think about church right now. I mean, it's an everyday deal, right? Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? So you say you have faith, then prove it to me. Let me see it. Let me see by your actions what you say you really believe. I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Now listen, when we talk about faith, we're talking about our faith in Jesus, not faith in morality. When you say you have faith, you're saying, I have faith in what we consider the gospel. I have faith in the work of the cross, that God sent his son to die for my sin. I place my faith in what he did for me, that he died for my sins, took on the wrath of God, was buried, and rose from the grave. My faith is in Jesus and what Christ did for me. And because of my faith in Jesus, my life will reveal and reflect who Jesus is and what God has done for me. That's what we place our faith in, not in doing good things to, you know, try to get ourselves to heaven. Not faith in morality. Well, I'm going to do this good thing to make myself feel better. We place our faith in the works of what Christ did and become more like Jesus. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Well, good for you. Take that. James just tells it like it is. He says, even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. He says, how foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Can't you see that faith without... Hey, even the demons believe in God. You say you believe in God, so do the demons. Why don't you prove to me that what you believe actually is what you believe? Because when you really believe what you believe, it works itself out in actions. You'll see the fruit of it. Some of y'all liking this. I'm getting on some religious side of people today. Y'all liking this. Listen, preach it. Now, here's what I need you to understand. Works do not gain salvation. They reveal salvation. They reflect salvation. You don't gain salvation by doing works. Jesus has already done the work. It just reveals that we placed our faith in the one that did the work for us, Jesus. So here's the big picture. When someone claims to have faith, especially in our church culture today, 21st century Bible Belt, we the prong of the Bible Belt. We put our little prong right there and fix it up. And we in the belt buckle, baby. Listen, in our culture, what he or she may have is intellectual knowledge. In other words, an agreement with a set of Christian teachings, and as such would be incomplete faith if it's just intellectual. We're not asking you what you know, we're asking you who you are. True faith transforms our conduct as well as our thoughts. If our life remains unchanged, we don't truly believe the truths we claim to believe. And this is where people start justifying. Well, I believe and I didn't do this. I mean, I helped somebody the other day and, you know, I gave a few dollars to that guy, homeless guy. I'm doing okay. You know, I've been trying to figure out where to place this one little one-liner, and I think most church people have heard this a bunch of times. I'll just say it here and I may say it again. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And I think that's where you really got to do the evaluation. Where am I being Lord of my own life? Do you run your own life or does God actually run your life? Well, let's talk more about that. So true faith. So there's false faith, true faith, false faith, deceptive faith, true faith, genuine faith. And you either have one or the other. Do you walk in genuine faith or do you walk in a false faith? Genuine faith produces actions. Genuine faith produces fruit. True, genuine faith produces a deep love for our Savior, a deep love for God. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us you can tell who are my disciples. They're the ones who love me. Do you really love him? That's a great place to start. We gotta love God. Well, then show me by your actions. True faith produces a deep desire to be obedient in all that God asks of us. True faith produces a deep burden for those who do not have a relationship with Christ. Are you burdened for people around you? True faith produces a longing for God's presence. Do you long to be in the presence of God? Is that the one thing that you long for? Psalm 37:4, David said, the one thing I ask, the one thing that I seek, the one thing that I desire the most is that I may be in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. That's the one thing I ask. Why? Because there's nothing like it. True faith works in us to want to live a life of making the name of Jesus famous in all that we do. And not our own name. True faith develops in us a passion. Now, it's a journey. It develops. It's not something that happens like overnight at times. But we're in the process of developing a passion to serve others and to love other people. True faith puts our minds and thoughts on the ways of God, not just at church, but all the time, because our lives are His now and not our own. True, genuine faith causes us to walk in power we've never known before. What kind of power are you walking in? We'll come back around to that in just a little bit. Genuine faith changes us from the inside out to look like Christ and bear His character towards others for the purpose of light penetrating darkness, and their life change. Other people's lives change because what God's doing in us. How effective are you because God's producing actions in you through what you really say you believe? You know, some people would say, well, reading the Bible, I read the Bible. You know, a lot of people may think that reading the Bible is works, but I really believe that reading the Bible is our manual to teach us how to work, to do the things that God asks of us. A lot of people say, well, I pray. If that's all you do, if all you do is read your Bible and pray and then don't put those things to action, then it's pointless. The Word of God is a map. Prayer is the voice of God speaking to us, teaching us as a map to show us how to live out who God is in our lives every single day for the purpose of Him and for the purpose of others. So what are you doing with what God's given you? It's a map. So all the things that I just read, does your faith that you say you possess, does it do those things? Evaluation. Is that who you are? Is this your mindset? Is this every fiber of your being? Is this your life? Is this your passion? You know, there are a lot of people who claim to have faith in Jesus that produces no works. Zero. And a lot of these people come to church a lot of Sundays. But what I need you to understand is faith is not a one day a week thing. Faith is it's a lifestyle. It's a lifetime. It's an everyday deal. Listen, just because I stand in a garage don't make me a car. And if I was a car, I would want to be a Porsche. But just because I stand in a garage don't make me a car. Just because I stand in a tool shed doesn't make me a tool. Just because I go to a gym, it doesn't make me fit. As a matter of fact, I went to a gym yesterday and I'm broke down. I'm hurting. And just because I go to church doesn't make me a Christian. I need somebody listening because I love you. I ain't mad at you. I'm trying to speak some truth into somebody, because if I didn't, then that would be wrong on my side. Because I need somebody to discover truth today. I'll be honest with you, there's a place. Me and Adam Hicks was talking about this last night. We was going over the sermon late last night together on the phone. They're not preaching today. They're having family fun day because they had to change the carpets out in Jasper. So we're just talking through it together. Some of y'all are like, I wish I was going to Family Fun Day. Dear Lord Jesus, this is heavy. But me and him both said, it's incredibly scary. There are people that have grown up in church their whole entire life. They got an incredible wealth of knowledge of the Bible. And they believe that their faith is strong because of one day a week. And because I know the Bible. It is very, very, very scary how many people are missing out on the blessings of God. I mean, it really is. I think that's my passion. I think that's why I'm here more than anything else, is to help people discover the difference between religion and relationship. There's a lot of religious people. We talk about it every single week. There's got to be something inside of you that's revealed every Monday through Saturday also that reveals that I'm a lover of God. I'm not just tongue in cheek with what I say. I live it out. Now, do I screw up? Yeah. But man, I'm a lover of God. I love Him. Listen, just believing God does not make your faith real. When we truly believe in something, that belief becomes who we are. It becomes our DNA. Is Jesus your DNA? Is He your everything? Is He your drive? Is He why you live? Is He your passion? James says, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Verse 17 says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces, unless it produces, unless it produces, unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. A lot of people need to ask themselves, is my faith affecting other? Because I'm producing for God's purpose. Is my faith affecting other people? True faith, genuine faith, is effective and is full of power. True faith is so powerful. True faith is so powerful that it not only affects our life, if it affects us, but it also spills over into others because of your actions or good deeds or works of Jesus in you, working through you. And it can only be motivated for your love for Christ. The engine of those works, those good deeds, is your love and your passion for Jesus. Not because you're trying to get to heaven. Jesus has already made a way for us to get to heaven. It's because I'm in love with Him. The second point that I want you to see is that we will be judged for our good deeds. For people that are here, they're like, I can't believe we're talking about works. Well, the Bible talks about it over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, the Bible says on the final judgment, on the last day, that we will all stand before God and be judged for our good deeds, for works on this earth. Revelation 20, 11 through 13 says, and I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from His presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, which is all of us. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death, and the grave, and gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. The Bible says very plainly that there will be two final judgments one day before God. The two will be, one will be for unbelievers and the other will be for believers. And both of them have to do with what did you do with Jesus? Unbelievers, what did you do with Jesus? Absolutely nothing. I never made Him Lord. I never made Him Savior. I lived my own life for me. I did what I wanted to do. There's nothing about my life. I had a relationship with God. So there are two judgments. One is for unbelievers and one is for believers. The word books is plural. So we see there's two judgments. The judgment for unbelievers is called the Great White Throne Judgment. So if you're a believer, if you're a follower of God, one that produces fruit because you have truly placed your faith in God, then the Bible says that if you're a believer, the Bible says that God will know and He'll say, come on in. Well, I'm glad you like that, brother. I feel like I need to sing a quartet song right now. Listen. So, if not, The Bible says, if you don't believe in who Jesus, what Jesus did for you on the cross, and you lived your life for you, did your own thing, the Bible says very plainly that you're removed from heaven to be eternally separated from God. By the way, side note, I don't know if you picked up anything in that text, but it says there will be no place to hide. There'll be no place to hide from his presence. You know, I believe there's a lot of people that try to hide from God's presence today. You can't hide from him here either. But that day, when we all stand before him, you can't hide. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know about you. That'll be a terrifying day for those who aren't followers of Christ. That should put a burden on all of us who are believers. Who wants to be walking in something horrific? That I would rather hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Come on in the house. I got some food in there for you. We got some fried chicken and mashed potatoes, some from Cracker Barrel. Good stuff. But it's going to be terrifying. It's going to be terrifying for those that God looks at and says, who are you? I don't know you. I never had a relationship with you. Why don't that burden us much? The second judgment is for believers. Believers, I need you to listen to me on this. Believers will be judged on what they did on this earth with Jesus. Unbelievers didn't do anything with Jesus. Believers will be judged with what they did with Jesus. It says in verse 13, and all were judged according to their deeds. In other words, we are who are true believers will be judged for what we do with what God has blessed us with. And what God has blessed us with is with Jesus. Everything that we do flows out of the springs of living water, Jesus. At this judgment, the books will be opened. The book of life contains the names of those who have put their trust in Christ to save them. These books also contains the recorded deeds of everyone, good or evil. Everyone's life will be reviewed and evaluated. No one is saved by deeds. Remember, I've said that 1,000 times. Nobody's saved by works. No one is saved by deeds, but deeds are seen as clear evidence of a person's actual relationship with God. No one is saved by deeds, but deeds are seen as a clear evidence of a person's actual relationship with God. Jesus will look at how we have handled the gifts and opportunities and responsibilities and the things that God placed before us. How did we handle those things? What are you doing with the gifts and the opportunities and the responsibilities that God has given you? I think it should start in the church first, because the church is God's idea. This is not Andy's idea. This is the idea of God, the church. We serve in the church. We use our opportunities in the church first, because that's what God's called us to. If you don't believe that, then you need to go read Romans and Corinthians and basically the whole Bible, New Testament especially. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. The church is not a building, by the way. Church is believers. So it starts here. Then how does it overflow out into the community, out of the streets, and out into the streets and the highways and the byways? God's gracious gift of salvation does not free us from the requirements of faithful obedience to service to Jesus. I'm going to say it again. God's gracious gift is a gift. God's gracious gift of salvation does not free us from the requirements of faithful obedience to service to Jesus. So the main question is, the gift of salvation is the gift of Jesus. God gave us his one and only son. So I guess in a simpler term, the way that we can put this today is what are you doing with Jesus, the gift of God? You say you place faith in him. So if you place faith in him, there should be something that's producing out of that. What are you doing with him? So for those that doesn't believe that you should ever preach on works in church, the Bible says very plainly that we'll be judged for our works when we get to heaven. And I think the missing ingredient in most churches is people just don't. We're not working. And if we, a lot of times if we do work, we work for the wrong reasons. Which leads me to my last point. Point number three, works will be tested by fire. Do you know that? That what you do for God will be tested by fire. The Bible says that our works will be tested. So what are you doing for Jesus? Here's why I need you really listening. All right, just tune in, hone in. 1 Corinthians 3, 13 through 15 says, but on the judgment day, when we stand before God, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder, are you building on the cornerstone? Jesus is the cornerstone of the foundation. Are you building off of Christ? Each builder has done. Fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done, which is action, moving, doing something. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. What is the value? The value is what you do with Jesus, the gift of the Father to us. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. And what's really scary is there are people sitting in this room right here is like, bless God, if I can just make it in by the hair of my chinny chin chin, I am gravy with that. I don't care. I'll smell like smoke all day. I don't want to be a crispy critter in hell. That's such a, I mean, if that really is your thought process, I would question your salvation. Because the thing I need you to see, listen, this is massive. The fire will reveal what kind of work. It reveals that there's two different type of believers. And both believers are working. They're doing something for God. They're not just sitting around doing nothing, which I think is what's missing in our churches today. They're not just sitting around doing nothing. Both. What kind of work? What kind of work? What kind of work? I believe that the Bible reveals that there are two different kinds of work. You know, the Bible talks about another place in 1 Corinthians that says that there's works of wood, hay, and stubble that will burn up one day. And then there's stone and jewels that will survive the fire. And you got to ask yourself, is my works wood, hay, or stubble? Or is it rubies and jewels and stones, the things that I'm doing for God? Because these people are working. They're serving. They're doing good deeds. One will burn up and one will survive the fire. I believe that both of them are done in the name of Jesus. And I need you to listen closely. This is another, a whole other group of people I'm talking to. I've talked to people already that you claim faith, but there's nothing in your life that reveals any kind of fruit that's being produced. Now, I'm talking to believers now. I believe both of them are done in the name of Jesus, but one is done for personal gain, and one is done for the gain of making Jesus famous. The one of making Jesus famous is the jewels, the stones, and the gold. Did you know you can use Jesus for personal gain? Our works all come down to one thing. The works, believers. is what's your motive? What is the motive behind why you serve Jesus? I think that's the true test when you get to heaven as a believer. What will burn up and what will not burn up? It's the motive behind it. And a lot of us are deceived by our own motives. I've been deceived by my own motives, and God had to reveal it to me, and it's just nasty. That ain't a fun walk. Our works, our good deeds, all come down to motives. Works have everything to do with Jesus. What are we doing with Jesus? How are we using him? Are we using him for selfish gain, or are we using him to enhance the kingdom? We can use Jesus selfishly, or we can use him unselfishly. Pharisees and Sadducees used him selfishly. They wanted praise, like, look at him. They wanted honor in the streets. They use God to gain their own glory. But in reality, what survives the fire when we get to heaven is when we don't care about our own name being known, but the name of Jesus being known. That's what will survive the fire. It's not about me. What is your motive for works and good deeds? Do you do it for your own platform? Listen, wrong motives with Jesus. And all this stuff is blinding. This is why you got to ask yourself. Because you'll never think, well, that's just not me. Well, it could be. Ask God to reveal it. Wrong motives with Jesus produces pride and self-righteousness. Produces know-it-alls. Produces jealousy and envy of others who may be recognized spiritually more than you. I believe that this is large in revealing whether you are using your faith for your own gain or God's gain. Do you find yourself getting jealous because somebody else gets more attention spiritually than you do? Preachers do it all the time. We good at it. We are all on the same team, which should cause us to celebrate when somebody else is reaching others instead of finding fault. Are you a fault finder in church on a regular basis? Probably reveals, if you are, that you're probably, your stuff gonna burn up in heaven one day. Because it's not about you. Selfish works produces gossip and bitterness towards other believers. Just does. True works, true genuine faith, true works that will survive the fire are those whose passion is to make the name of Jesus known no matter the cost. True works, true passion for Christ are people who have no desire to be known. Their main desire is, and their goal is, to make Jesus known more than anything else. These are people of no reputation. I don't want my reputation to be known. I want the representation and the reputation of God to be known through me. They are people who desire to be a faceless army. They carry the fruit of the Spirit, and it affects everyone around them in a positive way. That's the kind of stuff that'll survive heaven. I truly believe that's what's missing in a lot of our lives and many churches is our works. If you say you have faith, then prove it. Show it to me. You ain't got to show it to me either. I mean, you show it to God. But other people will recognize you have faith. Everybody knows it. Somebody knows when they truly come in contact with a true, genuine believer, because that person it just comes natural. They can't help it. We have preached on a regular basis here against works being not what saves you. You are not saved by works. Let me reiterate that. But a lot of people think that that's all they have to do. Is I just believe. Well, the demons do that. It's not true faith. Church, there's much work to be done. The world we live in today, don't watch the news, it'll depress you, or it should excite you, because that means there's darkness all around me and I still have things to do. Church, there's work to be done. The harvest is ripe, and the workers, not those who believe, the workers, the ones that believe and put work to what they say they believe. The workers, the harvest is ripe, and the workers are few. They are. The workers are few. They're few in the church. There are few outside in the highways and the byways. True believers who put actions to what they say they believe is few and far between. Just me shooting straight. Read an article yesterday. It's everywhere. 20% of the people inside the church, that's a high number, by the way, do most of the serving. They're the ones that tithe. They're the ones that serve. They're the ones that share the gospel. Pastors are getting war slap out because people aren't using their gifts inside the body of Christ. It's a long article. As a matter of fact, there's another pastor that wrote it and said, I would just want to challenge you to quit church. If you're not going to do anything, just quit. We might be bare next week. Don't listen to him. Come on back. God's going to set you free. He said, if you ain't, just quit because you're just pointless. God didn't save you to sit around and do nothing. God rescued you to make his name famous, to go set the world on fire for his name. You can't set the world on fire by sitting on your hands and doing nothing. That's not even faith. You say you have faith. That's not faith. You don't believe. That's a lie. You lie. Just tell us the truth. The truth is, I don't really have faith. Because if you have faith, it'd be every fiber of your being that the one that rescued you is my Lord and my Savior. And I will die paying the cost of following him. Listen. The scary thing is that there are people like, give me the golf clap today. Like, good job. Way to go, Pastor Andy. Well, that's a good message, Pastor Andy. While you're at Cracker Barrel eating. And then still do nothing. And then still do nothing. Because you think, I am good. Then why is 20% of the people that come to church on a regular basis, even at our church, still doing the work? Shooting straight. If that hurts you and you get mad about that, then I'm fine. It's true at our church as much as it is anywhere, every other church in the world. 20%. That's a high number. I got faith, I believe. Well, you don't even serve in the church. I'm not mad at you. I'm saying those things hard because you're missing out on a blessing. You're not believing me. You don't believe what the Bible says. I'm not mad at anybody. I love you. I want you to succeed, be excel, be effective in the kingdom of God. So I'm just going to shoot straight. Truth hurts. It hurts. I ain't going back to that church, bless God. He won't let me just sit there and do nothing. I like doing that. Okay. Then do nothing. There's more inside of you. God's not called you to live your life for you. God's called you to live your life for him. You cannot change the world sitting on your hands, doing your own thing, living the American dream. I want you to hear me. Government is not the answer to our nation's issues. Money is not the answer to our nation's issues. The American dream is not the answer to the issues in our culture. Medicine is not the answer to our nation's issues. There had never been and never will be any of those things will ever be the answer. The lives of Christians who call themselves Christians, who are walking genuine faith, who actually live out their faith, the believers who live out what they say they believe, they seek the one they place their faith in and believe in, those are the ones that are the answer because they live out and carry out Jesus. We have the answer, but most aren't affecting people with what we say we believe because we aren't really living out our own faith. Reveal your faith to others by the Jesus in you and your true good deeds, your love for Jesus. Not because you're trying to gain God's approval, but because you love him. We need to let the church, we need the church to put their faith into actions. And let's push back the gates of hell because we actually live out what we say we believe. Faith plus works equals power. You know what's really missing in our churches? Power. It's the power of God. Because the power of God lives in you, but you're not activating it. What activates the power of God is your faith that produces works, and it's generated and engined by love, your love for God and your love for others. Let's go. It's time to quit playing games. I got one short little old life. And I'm gonna do the best. I'm gonna do everything I can to let Jesus work in me. I stink at it sometimes, but I think we all do. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the cross. Hey, start somewhere. Start somewhere. Start here. This ain't a message on like serving in the church. Like, well, I just see what Andy's doing now. He's turning it all around on us. He just wants to serve in the church. Yeah, I do. 100%. Not for me, but for him. This is his idea. This ain't Andy's idea. Give your life away. Give your life away. Let God use you. What, when you stand before God one day, will there be smoke all over you when you walk in? Will it look like our stage? Just wondering if you got that. Will there be smoke all over you? Or are you going to walk in surviving the fire? Or are you going to walk in at all? What's your faith doing? What's your faith doing? What's your faith doing? You say you have faith? Let's see it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Tough message, God. Tough message. Tough is good, though. Calls us to look deep. Causes us to get honest. Church doesn't save us, Father. God, I ask in Jesus' name. Father, if there are people in this room who do not have a relationship with you, they may say they have faith, but God, there is nothing being produced in their life, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name, Father, that you would produce something absolutely gorgeous in them, Father. And that would be you. God, you'd produce power, that you'd produce life, that you'd produce blessing. You'd produce purpose, because we live our life with significance, because we're allowing our faith to ignite others. Not because it saves us, but because we have been saved, but because we're in love with you, Jesus. So Lord, work in us, move in us, move in us, move in us. If you're here today with nobody looking around, and you'd say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus, man. I'm sitting here listening to everything you're saying. Man, I've said I've had faith forever, but man, I've really done some soul searching. I ain't nothing about my faith that's producing anything, brother. And man, I want my life to mean something. And from what I hear you saying, Andy, the only way that can happen is to have a relationship with Jesus. And I want to start a relationship with God. I don't want to just say it. I want to live it. If you're here today with nobody looking around, and you say, I don't have a relationship with God. I want a relationship with Jesus. Man, God spoke to me today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, I just want you to put your hand up and put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out, call you out. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But just so I know I have somebody here I can lead to Christ. Say, Andy, I'm not producing much. I want a relationship with you. If you just be honest with me, if that's you today, I'm going to count to three. Put your hand up and put it right back down. One, two, three. Hand up. Come on. Come on. All over the house. All over the house. I say three or four, five, six. I see you, my brother. Listen, for those that raised their hand and maybe for the ones that didn't, the Bible says very plainly to confess Jesus as Lord. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Sometimes we try to take things back from him, but it's his. Confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, believe in your heart that he's raised again on the third day, and the Bible says, and you will be saved. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe, Jesus, that you took the penalty of my sin. I believe you took on the wrath of God. You shed your blood for me. I believe that you were buried, and I believe you rose from the grave, and that you're alive and well today. And today I give you my life, Jesus. If you're here and you say, Andy, I want to do that, man. I want to start a relationship with God. Well, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord. No longer do I want to be Lord of my life. I want him to be Lord of my life. I want Jesus to do that. And so to confess him, I believe we got to talk to him. So why don't we talk to him right now? Those that raised their hand, and maybe for the ones that didn't, say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I turn from my sin. I turn from my ways. God, I ask you in Jesus' name to save me and rescue me from me. I give you everything. Take and do with me what you will. I'm yours. God, I pray to walk close to you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for changing me. If you're here today and you just gave your life to Desperation Church, whether you're online or whether you're inside this place, can we give it up for them, Desperation Church? Come on, come on. Here's what I want to challenge you with for those that raised their hand and maybe for the ones that didn't or maybe those watching online. I want you to take out your phone and I want you to text this number. We're going to give you some next steps. This is vital. This is important. One of the next steps is you need to be baptized. We baptize at the end of every single month. That's your next step. They're going to tell you a little bit. They're going to give you some next steps. They're fired up for you. It's a journey walk with God. Text that number 31996. Text that number on your phone. You're going to have something come up. It's going to give you some next steps on how to start walking with God, okay? And here's the deal. If you don't have a phone that you can do that with, you got a connection card in your chair, fill that thing out, drop it in the baskets as you leave, and somebody's going to give you a buzz. We're going to help you out. All right? Your next step is gigantic. It's going to take some courage, but you can do it. Hey, if you're here today and you say, Andy, God spoke to me, man. And I'll be honest with you, I want to be that person that lives my life for something that matters. I want to live it for Jesus. If that's you, would you just throw your hands up? I want to pray for you. Come on, Father, in Jesus' name, may we be the people of God you've called us to be. God, I pray that we would taste and see that you are good. That God, you desire blessing. Lord, there is a cost that comes to walk with Christ. There is difficult times. But God, there's so much blessing. God, this message was meant for blessing, not for any kind of beat down. And so, Lord, I pray that we would tap into what it means to follow you wholeheartedly, full-fledged, with everything that we are, and that you use us for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we lift you up, we praise you, and we honor you.